Hey everybody, jumping in real quick before the show gets started to tell you that yes, the Grand Rapids meetup is coming back, baby. I will be in Grand Rapids this Tuesday, June 22nd, and would love to meet up with some of the local folks. If you happen to be in the area and want to join us, the event is actually going to be hosted and taking place over at Rush Beardcore himself's home, the address of which is available at countrysquireradio.com. That is going to be, again, Tuesday, June 22nd at 6:30 p.m. For the address and details, hit up countrysquireradio.com right now. Would love to meet up with some of the folks there in the Grand Rapids area. It has been a while, and so I'm very much looking forward to seeing some old friends and some new friends. So come join us. Again, that's Tuesday, June 22nd at 6:30. Head over to countrysquireradio.com for the address and details. Pipe smoking, a good bite to eat, hopefully a lot of laughs and some good times. See y'all soon. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm just more and more aware of my technological inability.
Whatever, man.
Well, no, Bo puts all this together, obviously. Everyone knows that, you know, this wouldn't happen, you know, as far as a, well, it wouldn't happen in any standpoint for, without Bo, but from the technological standpoint, he is the, you know, the mastermind behind making sure this gets out. And so, you know, I've got a 9-year-old MacBook Air that we record this on, at least on my end. And so, you know, just this really ancient computer that is still humming like a top, you know, for the most part, but every once in a while, it's starting to get these little hiccups here and there. So, you know, I'm one of these people that's just going to run it into the ground. It's been a great computer, but it's 9 years old and it's covered in like soot from my pipe. You know, all the like little keys have little granules of ash like down in between them and, you know, smells like the shop. And it's this beautiful kind of yellowed patina, but it's my MacBook, man. I don't want to give it up. So we're trying to squeeze a few more miles out of it. And sometimes that makes our podcast a little complicated.
Now, you are to computers what I am to cars. I will run them into the ground. And then when it comes time to buy a new one, typically I will go as cheap as humanly possible because I have no intention to do anything other than run it into the ground.
Yep, there you go.
I get it. I definitely get it. Well, man, we're glad you're here. And of course, you know, I appreciate the praise. We got to give a shout out, of course, to our amazing editor, Mike, who also is goes above and beyond every single week.
We
put him through the challenges. We put him through the ropes. So we gotta give him a shout out for sure there as well. Man, how have you been? I feel like it's been so long since we've gotten a chance to sit down and have a glass of rum together.
I know, man. Just so long since we've done that. Yeah. man, I'm doing well. I'm actually having a nice glass of Old Elk to go with this episode. You know, we talked about Old Elk on a Squire Select a few moons ago. I've still got it here at our office. Some of the stuff, I leave it here as kind of a special treat when I get to drink some right after we record every week. And so I'm cracking the bottle a little early today on this one. I'm gonna enjoy it right now. So
it's kind of like a little reward. Like, hey, I did the thing. I put myself out there on the interwebs. So let me get a little illiquid encouragement reward.
Little Old Elk to, you know, just deaden the nerves a little bit. So no, it's great though, man. Glad to be here with you and things are going good, you know. Just really kind of settled in. Our little baby George is doing well, and he's starting to get to the point where we can, you know, venture out a little bit on the patio at nighttime and, you know, enjoy the evening and, you know, as a family. And I smoke my pipe and maybe drink a, you know, big glass of Cabernet or something and hang out with my wife and kids. And man, it's been good. It's a good season. So we're really grateful, man. Really are.
Man, that makes me so happy to hear. I'm excited that we get the chance to sit down, of course, this week and talk about one of our favorite things, which is pipe tobacco, man. Like, you know, longtime listeners of the show, we probably acknowledged it at some point, but it doesn't take too long to figure out that if you get a Squire Select episode, a tobacco talk is not long behind.
It's imminent.
That's right. A great way to put it. It is imminent. These two go together like a fine wine. One is kind of like our You always kind of say it's a little selfish of us to take the opportunity to drink various beverages and pair them with pipe tobacco. But you know, we counterbalance that kind of personal reward with doing the job that one would imagine that a pipe tobacco podcast would do, which is reviewing pipe tobacco.
That's fair.
And man, that's what a tobacco talk is all about. It takes us to our roots, our bread and butter, our steak and potatoes, the steak of the steak and potatoes, if you will, because on a tobacco talk, we're here talking tobacco. And man, I'm excited. I know you brought some good pipe tobaccos to the table today, sir.
Yeah, man, sure did. Really excited about tobacco talk this week. And it is always fun to kind of come back to the heart and soul of a pipe smoking podcast, which of course is all about the delicious leaf that we love. So, man, this week talking about a couple of fun ones. I'm eager to talk about one we've never really mentioned on the show before. The other we've mentioned here and there, and we have probably even reviewed to a limited degree before, but I've had some kind of evolving thoughts about this tobacco. Ooh, and so I wanted to bring it back to the forefront to kind of discuss in a fun way. And so, a couple of good ones today. Today, number one, we're visiting with our friend Greg Peace, GL Peace, who makes some of the best tobaccos in the world. I've said multiple times, when I grow up, I want to be this individual, and that has not changed because he is just so good. And of course, Greg Peace has been doing this for a long time, and man, is just one of the best at what he does. And so, talking about today, Abingdon.
Gesundheit.
Abingdon. It's one of these words that I'm like, you could say it a few different ways, and I'm just going to go with Abingdon. I think that's probably right.
So you know, on this show, the words that you could say a few different ways, that is like our kryptonite on this show.
Yeah, it is. It is. That is a good point. You know, we're down here in the South. People try to keep things easy. We, you know, use one and two syllables, a lot of not conflicting consonants and things of that nature. And sometimes people throw us curveballs by having, right, you know, names that are like not Anglo-Saxon.
Billy Bob is a stereotypical Southern name for a reason.
Right. That's right. But of course, I say not Anglo-Saxon. Of course, Abingdon is it's a town in central England, central South England. So basically, these are all excuses for Bo and I are just complete idiots. And you know that if you've listened to this for a while.
This is true.
Abingdon, man, just a really interesting tobacco. Longtime listeners will know that I'm not a huge English blend smoker. I'm not a particularly, you know, something I don't, you know, really pull for very regularly, unless I'm in just one of those funky moods where I want something kind of smoky and rich and that burns cool. So, Abingdon is a full English that Greg developed and came out with in 2003. Been around for quite a long time, almost 20 years now. And it's part of his classic collection. So Greg has different collections, mm-hmm, within his kind of lineup that he does. And these are made at the Cornell and Deal factory. They do a great job and work real closely with Greg to make these things happen. But his classic collection, they're unflavored tobaccos meant to evoke the creative impressions of yesteryear. And I like the concept here with the classic collection. Basically, you know, he's trying to, these are not tobaccos that are, you know, exact facsimiles of tobaccos that he smoked in the past, but he's trying to kind of evoke that spirit of older tobaccos. I want to read this from his website. He says, the classic collection draws inspiration from some of the great tobaccos of days past. The blends offered are not meant as attempts to replicate them, but are like impressionistic paintings of those long-aged blends, designed to pay them homage and capture something of their essence. No casing, sauces, or added flavors are used, just pure tobaccos carefully selected and artfully blended to bring out the best each leaf has to offer. This is a neat series. It's obviously very thoughtful of him, and he's done a really good job developing all these. On the front of each tin within the classic collection is a, you know, he mentions in this description from his website kind of this impressionistic, you know, like it's like an impressionistic painting. It's something that he's trying to evoke these feelings about, although not a very specific feeling about an old blend. But, you know, this is what old blends used to to be like, and these impressionistic paintings. He's got these neat drawings on each one of the classic collection tobaccos. The front of Abingdon is a straight bulldog, very handsome bulldog there, and he's got one on Black Point, Charing Cross, Kensington, and Piccadilly, and so they're just all very beautiful pipes and stuff that you can tell Greg put a lot of thought into. So, man, Abingdon, this is a it is an English blend. It's one of those tobaccos. It's dark. It's oily. Lots of Latakia, Turkish, Virginia. It's one of those blends that certainly hits you in the face and is very fun. He refers to it as dark, mysterious, and full. Abingdon, this is from his website again, and the official description of the tobacco. Abingdon is the fullest Balkan-style blend in the collection. It is rich and robust, powerful and forthright, yet still possesses subtlety and finesse. Dark flavors of wood and leather mingle with delicate undercurrents of sweetness and deep earthy notes, while the original tobaccos provide hints of their verdant, sometimes herbaceous character.
Their what character?
Herbaceous and verdant. So think like grassy, vegetal, pasture-like. I mean, you're getting kind of a greenery here, which is interesting. So, Greg is he's a wordsmith, so you would expect things like that from him.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, I knew what that meant.
Well, hopefully I passed the test. He continues, a big Balkan blend reminding us once more of what these blends used to be. Because of the high percentage of dark and oriental tobaccos, it's recommended to pack Abingdon a little less firmly than you might a lighter blend. And so that, you know, according to him, is kind of a good way to smoke a tobacco like this, where you're giving it a little air to breathe, and that maybe that's due to some of the, you know, oily characteristics of these particular tobaccos. But anyway, Bo, do you what do you kind of see on this tobacco, just the artwork and all that?
Yeah, of course, GLP's has the, there's no nonsense with the GLP's brand.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like a logo or anything like that. I mean, you do have the here's the tobacco leaf and here is GLP's, and you know immediately that golden dry aged tobacco leaf. You know, it's actually interesting. I before you hung so many years ago the tobacco leaves above the Country Squire, like hanging above, I would not have like instantly been able to recognize what I was looking at here with the the leaf as part of GLP's. Now, as I understand it, there's a couple of different tins. Like, this has actually gone through a couple of different design iterations, especially with the way the logo is displayed. But ultimately, you've got kind of the crossed pin and pipe, I guess, is a good way to describe the artwork, with what appears to be, is that like a journal entry or something that it's
sitting over? Some type of letter or like you said, journal entry. You can vaguely see the word September, and he's written something out on a piece of paper with a beautiful fountain pen, maybe a Mont Blanc or something, and it's crossed over with this pipe that I can't really tell. It might be a Ferndown, actually, this bulldog with a very handsome nickel or sterling band on it, just very pretty. So,
well, that's the thing. It's clearly, you know, meant to evoke the feeling of sitting back, being contemplative, writing thoughts or a letter down or something of that nature. This is definitely speaking to that, not primordial pipe smoke, because that's not right, but that kind of, that iconic, I guess, that iconic sitting back with your pipe and getting ready to do a little work, and not just like not work with your hands per se, but work with your mind.
Gentleman's object of choice while he's focusing on whatever he's got to write. And so, really nice. You mentioned, you know, he's a no nonsense kind of artwork on his tins, and you know, I appreciate about Greg's tins that, you know, a lot of these companies that come out with tobacco and they are no nonsense on their artwork, that also means they're plain and not interesting. And with Greg, he leaves it, it's not plain, and it is interesting.
right, even though it's also no nonsense.
And so, so I do appreciate that. I think it's a nice touch. So you pop the tin. It's one of these kind of biscuit style Cornell and Deal cans. And again, you are met immediately with that very rich, robust room note. The tobacco is, you know, a nice warm maple color. And then you have a lot of dark leaf in here. I'm assuming Latakia and different Virginia varietals that are playing kind of a role in the Turkish tobaccos that are there. It's just, it's very earthy smell. It has a very rich smell. It's pungent. The ribbon cut here is just thick enough to be a proper ribbon cut. You know, I think if it were any thinner, it would probably favor something closer to shag. It's just a very thin, delicate ribbon cut, and it's very beautiful. And you can tell that this is a complex mixture because of all the different colors going on in here. It is a fine ribbon. It has that interesting tin note that's interesting, you know, powerful, and you know a lot of things are going on. This, you know, as you load it and pack it and light it, this is a tobacco that stays lit, I have to say, very easily. And it probably is due to something about the nature of the thinness of that cut paired with the oiliness of a lot of these leaves. And so it just stays lit, gets lit, and stays lit very easily, which is always pleasant when it comes to a pipe tobacco. You know, in tasting this, this is a full Balkan, but it's very interesting. This is like if a full English blend met like pine needles or like juniper. It's got this rich but also very, very woody flavor to it that is just interesting, and that I haven't gotten a lot of from other Balkan style blends. That woodiness, that pineness that kind of comes in there. It's a fresh winter wonderland kind of thing. It's very, very fascinating what he's done here, and I don't know exactly what's imparting that. I'm assuming it's probably some of the Turkish tobaccos that he's put in here, but and it's just a very good tobacco that kind of keeps you guessing with every puff, you know, because of the complexity of it. You really do get a lot out of it. So, you know, again, burns to a very nice white powder, you know, and something that tastes really good if you like a healthy dose of Latakia, which this certainly has. I do have to say, you know, as far as a review on this tobacco, room note, it, to me, has a lot to be desired. Now, that's true for most English blends, right? I mean, you come to the table with Latakia and you're thinking, well, you know, I mean, if you really like, you know, a burnt hair kind of thing, or someone putting on a new asphalt roof on the building next door, if that smell appeals to you, then you'll love Latakia, you know. But this particular blend, as good as it tastes, the room note of it is a little wanting for me, and so even for an English blend. But man, I, you know, really enjoyed smoking it, and one of those that I, you know, hope to visit again real soon. You know, even though I'm not much of an English blend smoker, it's one of those that I think next time I am craving a tobacco that burns really cool and also just has a nice depth to it, with this kind of mysterious woodiness that kind of evokes a forest or something. I don't know. It's very nice, but I'm sure I'll pull for it again soon.
You know, I'm not anti-English by any stretch of the imagination, but I am more of an aromatic smoker because I do appreciate a good room note. Like I there is something about, especially busting out your pipe in a situation where not very many people are smoking a pipe, or you know, the people around you are not familiar with that. And then like having that insanely like pleasant, strong, like take you back in time type of room note experience.
Yep. Yep.
That I love sharing that with people.
Yeah.
I think that's that kind of adds to the overall pipe smoking experience for me. So that carries a lot of weight for me to have some good room note. Would you say, so I'm curious, is this one an unpleasant room note, or it just has kind of more of a, you know, like you say, if you buy English, you get what you paid for. You know what you're getting into. And
yeah, so, I mean, it's not more unpleasant than most English blends. It might be on the, you know, on the farther side of the spectrum as far as like, you know, what's tolerable, I think. Mm-hmm. But you know, certainly I would not compare it to you know, some of the Samuel Gay with Twist tobaccos or something like that. They just smell just just awful. Right. It just smelled terrible. Yeah. And I wouldn't put it certainly in any of those categories.
Ah, the old twist, it smells like what it looks like.
It does, man. Did I tell you the story about when my daughter came into the shop like a couple weeks before our son was born a couple months ago? And my wife and daughter came into the shop to see me maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks before that. And we had just refreshed our collection of twist tobaccos up on the shelf. You know, we cut them by the inch. We've got this 100-year-old plug cutter that we used to, you know, cut our twist tobaccos and sell them for people to chew and smoke. And so my daughter, you know, who's not even two, she saw these big jars of twisted dark, you know, matter. And she pointed to them and she said, "Dog." And it was awesome because she immediately knew that they looked like they came from a dog.
Yeah, what a dog would leave behind. Yeah.
So it was just so funny. My little, you know, 19-month-old daughter, she pointed at, you know, this fancy, you know, twist tobacco from England, and she said, "Dog."
She knows what's up. I'm sure Penny, your dog, would be highly offended, but
oh no, I think she would be proud. You know, yeah, yeah, it's a good thing to be associated with.
All right, man. So that's the first one. The Abingdon.
Abingdon. That's right.
Abingdon. What we got next, man?
Man, talking about Bob's Chocolate Flake from Gaywith and Hogarth today. This is a tobacco revisited recently. And, you know, we've talked before about, you know, Samuel Gaywith and Gaywith and Hogarth's tobaccos. Of course, legendary tobacco companies that have been kind of recombined into this one overarching company, but they still have kept their brand names and they're distributed by different people. And so it's just kind of this interesting, complex relationship that they've got there. It's fascinating, just the history of these. But yeah, it's Samuel Gaywith Tobacco's Bob's Chocolate Flake. We're revisiting this after having talked about it some before. I've spoken a lot about Gaywith and Hogarth tobaccos, and you know, they're aromatic tobaccos. A lot of times that Kindle flavor, those Lakeland essences that come out that kind of have a tart rosewater essence to them that you know, is just it can be a little off-putting to some people, and I think historically has been for me. Some of these processes they've used for basically 200 years, you know, to make these different tobaccos taste this way. And so it's a very old-fashioned flavoring process. It's a very British process. It just, you know, is something that you would expect from their aromatic tobaccos. And Bob's Chocolate Flake is so interesting. It's a tobacco that in years past I just never really connected with, but am really starting to enjoy again or maybe for the first time, and wanted to just kind of discuss that. So, you know, Gaywith and Hogarth been around a long time, known for their sophisticated flavoring techniques and also their Virginia tobaccos. They get Virginias from all over the world and use a lot of these in their, you know, different blends. And then they're known, of course, as well for their flake tobaccos and twists, which we know and love, even if they make the room smell like sin. So the main characteristics of this flake come from the 8% Latakia included in the blend and the smooth chocolate aroma. And I'm reading here from tobaccoreviews.com. Brazilian, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Virginia leaf make up 82% of the blend, providing a mild/medium smoke, cooled with the addition of 8% sun-cured and 2% Malawi burley. The Latakia cools, but does also add strength and aroma to the blends. The cocoa casings and chocolate top flavors are rounded off with vanillas and other flavors, providing sweet notes. And so this is a very chocolatey, rich tobacco, but it's not something that's like a milk chocolate. It's more of a kind of a cocoa powder flavor. There's a bitterness that's there. I wouldn't say it's a super dark chocolate, but it is a little bit of a bitterness that you enjoy. And so, yeah, it interesting. Of course, they've taken these Virginias, as they've mentioned, from all over the world, particularly Africa and South America, blended them with some air-cured burley, and then added this Latakia to it, which has made a, you know, just a fun blend. It's a this crossover blend that we love, a good crossover blend at the Country Squire. You know, we make a lot of these where you've got a lot of aromatic elements, but then you have this really honest portion of Latakia that gives it a good depth and doesn't impart too much of a room note change and that kind of thing. And so it is a decidedly aromatic tobacco. The natural flavor of the cocoa and vanilla play well. And they, of course, as I mentioned before, known for using very high quality, nuanced flavoring techniques for their tobaccos. And when you open this can, it's got a kind of triangle square look to it, and you pop it open and you've got this little pouch of flakes that are in there that are pretty moist. They tear apart nicely, but some people might prefer to let sit for a little bit. The can that I'm actually smoking right now has been with me for a while, and it's developed a really beautiful kind of sugar crystal top on the top of these. And so it's just very, very elegant. For me, it's a stronger tobacco. The Virginias that are here are rich, deep Virginias that have a nice earthy flavor to them, and those kind of stewed fruit notes. But the chocolate comes in and makes it just a nice, more full-bodied, I guess, experience. And the burley adds strength, a nice mouthfeel. It puts out a nice smoke production. And of course, there's just enough Latakia to make itself known. And that Latakia, it's certainly not an English blend, but it's something that makes it just that much more interesting and rich and deep. And so it's a great tobacco. It's something that revisited, I think, in years past with some of these Samuel Gaywith tobaccos. I've just not really connected with the moisture content, the complexity of the flavor. For me, I've just, it tended more towards some of the brighter leaves that are out there, and these tend to be a little more on the darker side. And so I think, you know, this might be a little sense in which my palate's changing some. It's kind of interesting, but just thought I'd revisit that and bring it up. So if you can get your hands on Bob's Chocolate Flake, I'd highly recommend you at least give it a go.
So I'm curious, what was the first chocolate flavored tobacco that you ever had? Do you even recall?
I don't necessarily recall. I know years ago we had a tobacco at the shop that was chocolate. And then since then, we have developed another chocolate blend under the same name, Tabac du Chocolat.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though, if that was the first chocolate tobacco I ever tried. So it's an interesting flavor for a tobacco. So many people, when they come to the shop and they want to, you know, smell different tobaccos, and they're like, well, recommend something to me. Every time I mention that we have a chocolate tobacco, people kind of cock their head to the side, and they're like, well, yeah, they're like, I like chocolate, but I don't really think of it as something I want to smoke in a pipe tobacco, you know? And so it can be this interesting, some people just don't really get there with chocolate tobacco. It's kind of messes up their categories a little bit. But for me, though, it is a fun tobacco that, if done well, I think can be a really great addition to your cellar.
Well, there you go. And let me ask you this. You mentioned that, you know, you've had this tin for a minute. Is it the red tin or the green tin?
It's the green tin. Green tin. Yep.
Because typically, you know, when you've got some tobaccos, and obviously there's quite a few out there that have been around for a minute, they go through kind of some different, you know, facelifts, as they were.
Boy, they do. They really do. Yeah.
And, you know, the nice thing about chocolate is you do kind of associate that flavor profile with, of course, Christmas. And so you've got kind of I like that you do have the green and red variety throughout the history of the branding and kind of the imagery of this particular pipe tobacco. So, yeah. I got to make mention there. All right. Well, there you go. Well, hey. Those are that's John David's take, but let us know what your thoughts are on the various pipe tobaccos. You know, one of the great things is while you are trying out some different pipe tobaccos, especially ones that might challenge your flavor profile, see if maybe your taste buds have changed over the years. You want to make sure that you are getting every single ounce of flavor that is possibly available in the various pipe tobaccos you have. If you love it, if you hate it, you need to know. And our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum make a great quality corncob pipe to make sure that you will know exactly your thoughts around the pipe tobacco that you're sampling, just because of the quality smoke that you're getting there.
Yeah, man, we love the folks at Missouri Meerschaum. Of course, every week, thank them for sponsoring this show. And this week, we're talking about the Volcano Missouri Meerschaum Corncob Pipe. It's a new pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. It's got a really interesting, fun volcano shape that's got a nice taper towards the top and a medium-sized bowl, which is perfect for, you know, that first bowl of tobacco that you're trying an interesting tin of. So comes with an amber stem. It's a filtered stem and comes in a bent and a straight variety. Just a really handsome pipe, something that I think your friends will immediately comment on. Very affordable, retailing for only $10.99, and you can get that if you go to corncobpipe.com. They'll ship it to you straight to your house from Washington, Missouri, and just we'll pack it with care and make sure you get it in good shape. So go check it out, and we hope you enjoy it.
You know, the volcano style, it's kind of it's been around for a minute in terms of just kind of broadly, but is this their first ever
first volcano?
Wow. Yep. That's exciting. Yeah, if you happen to have a volcano, be sure to rock it this week. It's a great way to let the good folks know at Missouri Immersion that we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. Now, this pipe question of the week is coming into us from Father Isaac. Now, we love Father Isaac.
Yeah, Father Isaac. Absolutely, man. Yeah, that's great.
He's writing in and says, "Hey, guys, I was saddened to hear the discontinuation of the classic OTC blend. My local grocery store sells them in the canister, but a bit pricier than what you find on the internet. I'm thinking about getting one for old time's sake, but I was wondering if the John Middleton company was confirmed in their discontinuation. The site doesn't say anything about it. And some in the online scuttlebutt is that it's just a rumor started by folks developing quote unquote match blends exacerbated by the long back orders. Any thoughts?" And Father Isaac tempting us with levels of conversation that have gotten us in trouble before.
Boy, no kidding. Online scuttlebutt, Country Squire Radio, and discontinued tobacco.
Danger!
Man, this is a recipe for disaster. No, John Middleton tobaccos, these are being discontinued, is my understanding. And, you know, so if you like, you know, some of those old tobaccos that have the flavors there that, you know, everybody knows and loves, I would go stick a couple cans of them back. I think it's something that, you know, might be worth your while. So many of these blends, you know, have a storied place in American history. We think of Carter Hall. We think of Walnut Blend from Middleton's, or, you know, the old ones like London Dock or Kentucky Club. These are blends that are just they have a long history and, you know, of course, lots of following, and folks cut their teeth smoking things like Carter Hall. But the availability of them is getting hard to get, and you won't find it in the future. So if it's something you see that you need to, and it is a favorite blend of yours, I would tuck some away. I think that would be a good call. But yeah, my understanding is that these blends are going away, and it'd be a good time if you see any in the wild out there to put a can or so back of it.
That should be like our policy whenever anybody asks us questions like this. Like, you know what? Just go buy some. just you know, like what's the harm?
I know.
Yeah,
right?
Like stock up. Yeah. Why not?
Everything's terrible. Go buy some tobacco, and you'll be better for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the mindset of everything's terrible, because there's a lot of good stuff going on in the industry. But yeah,
no, everything. It is a good idea to go, you know, even if you're going to pay a little more for it, I'd say, you know, it's probably a good idea to snag some, Father Isaac. So good question, man.
All right, man. Great question. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, you can send it in the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire questions.
All right, man. Quick fire questions. We are continuing on the March Madness well into June. June Madness.
It is indeed.
All right.
Complete madness.
Look, this is the one that everybody's been waiting for, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to draw some lines in the sand today, right? I mean, there's decisions that are being made.
Okay, so if you haven't been keeping up, we've been going through all the way since back at the very tail end of March. We've been doing kind of March Madness with various brackets around tobacco, pipes, and kind of the industry as a whole. And today, man, we're down to the final four of the tobacco bracket. That's right. I'm talking Virginia. I'm talking Black Cavendish. I'm talking Latakia. I'm talking Perique. Who is going to make it to the final round? Who will be our champion? We're going to find out today. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to go into the Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome? What is that? Did you just create a dome?
No, that's a thing. That's definitely a thing. All right. Here we go. You ready, sir?
You are ridiculous. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Coming out of the Virginias, ladies and gentlemen, It's Virginia versus Black Cavendish.
I got to go with Virginia's. That, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Black Cavendish, they it has such an incredible place in all tobaccos, whether it's a real aromatic or whether it's a real English blend. Black Cavendish can play a role in so many things, and it is a very vital part of our tobacco ecosystem. But man, I got to go with Virginia's. You know, I'm a sucker for bright leaf. I like dark Virginia's as well, and man, just all the natural sugar that's there and the magic that can be done with those leaves. So yeah, man, it's the basis for so many blends. It's the basis for really, in some sense, the tobacco industry as a whole. And man, I just, Virginias are near and dear to my heart, man. So I hate to tell the aromatic smokers out there, but I'm going with Virginias.
All right, let's be real. That's not a surprise to anybody.
It's not at all. I feel like all this is very anticlimactic.
Well, that one's not a surprise to anybody. But I'm very curious. I'm not putting any of my own personal money down because I don't know where it would go. Because next up, this next round. So we know that Virginia's going into the championship match here, right? But here it is. This is the one that has kept people up at night. All right. This is the one that if you've got your pennies put behind either one of these candidates, you don't necessarily know which one is going to take the gold, at least not for this round. And that is Latakia versus Parikh.
Like there's Don King in one corner, like talking this one up, and there's, you know, Vince McMahon or someone in the other corner.
Well, I was trying to do like the smell of la-la-la with the Rock is cooking back in the day. I mean, I was never a wrestling guy, but I do remember the la-la-la-la-la thing.
Man, to be honest with you, I mean, I appreciate you trying to play this up. I really do. But, you know, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you'll know I love Parikh. I think Parikh is great. You know, it's one of those tobaccos that is much more versatile than people give it credit for. You know, it's spicy and peppery and vinegary and pungent and semi-sweet. It has you know, a way of really infecting all the leaves around it to make them more interesting as well. It presses well. It makes a good flake. It makes a good ribbon. It's just a fun tobacco. And doggone it, it's from the South, so you gotta love it.
Yeah.
All right, man, I'm a Parikh guy, and I will go with Parikh, you know, many, many times over Latakia, of course. You know, Latakia probably has, it has a more storied place in the history of pipe tobacco. And so I guess if there's an upset, that's the upset that, you know, Latakia on average for most pipe smokers is going to be the more sought after tobacco, the more important tobacco, the one that makes a bigger part of their smoking experience and all that. But for me, I'm a Parikh guy. I just am. It's a fun tobacco to work with. It's mysterious and interesting and swampy and always keeps you guessing. And I think it's great. So I got to go with Parikh.
All right. So this is what it comes down to, man. Championship for pipe tobacco. I mean, like, honestly, we've got more brackets, but let's be honest, this is the only one that anybody cares about. And this is the championship. This is the question. Will it be the personal beloved of John David Cole or the hometown hero? We're talking Virginia versus Parikh, people. Place your bets. This is your last chance. It all comes down to this. Heroes will be made tonight. Villains will be firmly established. People will feel the love, the betrayal, the passion, the intrigue, the betrayal. I already said betrayal. All right, so here's this. What's it going to be, John David? Virginia versus Parikh. So who takes the gold?
We're doing this right now.
Yes, sir.
We're doing this right now.
I'm not letting you get away. Go for it. This is it. Championship right now. Go.
Parikh.
No! Yes, sir.
I love Parikh, man. It is so much fun. It's so interesting. It's a tobacco that's hard to work with. So it's a challenge. It makes new blends either, you know, just it's hard to make a good new blend out of Parikh. You know, it's something that isn't as versatile as so many of its others. So it's kind of this Rubik's cube of tobacco, but also it offers so much. Again, as a something that ages really well, it really makes the blend, the tobaccos around it, more and more interesting. And complex. I just love Perique. I think it's a fun tobacco that, you know, more people, I wish more people would smoke, but, you know, it's a tobacco that's harder and harder to come by nowadays. We appreciate Mark Ryan for all the work that he's done with the, Poche factory down in Convent, Louisiana. And, man, just a fun tobacco with an interesting history, interesting, you know, story behind it. And gosh, everybody knows how much I love Virginia's. But I love Perique.
All right, there it is. I was hoping that you would, you know, you would back the Louisiana power. Like I was really, that was what was my hope, my desire.
There you go, man. St. James Parish coming out on top.
can't beat it. Absolutely. All right. Well, there you go. That's the tobacco bracket finalized, completed, puts in the books. You know, these brackets are available to our patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. So if you want to see what the next bracket is and make your guesses along, you can find out more there. Again, that's patreon.com/countrysquireradio.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback. We got some listener feedback in from Nathan Clay. What did Nathan have to say?
Yeah, he says, gentlemen, listening to CSR over the years, I've heard you mention many of the fine tobaccos available at the Country Squire. However, deep questions about these blends remain. Every hero deserves an origin story, and the Country Squire tobaccos are no exception. Who is the original blender? How did the tobacco get its name? When were they first released? What prompted the creation of the blend? What world-renowned blends have been retired? Why, and will they ever come back? Who is the parson of Parsons Blend? Why is the Cornishman angry? What is the relationship between Cherokee and Choctaw? How did the Middle Earth blends come into existence? Whatever happened to Lowland Pine? Who thought a pumpkin spice latte tobacco should ever be created? Is Bo suppressing the creation of a Red Rose blend?
Yes.
I know JD is reluctant to self-promote, but I would like to know more about the Country Squire's 50-year history, its employees and interns, the Reeves family, and the stories behind its tobaccos. If you decide to share the origin stories of these blends, I know Bo will seek to emulate the production value of the Marvel Universe and avoid the mistakes of the Green Lantern. Snowstorm 2021 survivor in San Antonio, Texas, and that is Nathan Clay. Nathan, great. I mean, listener feedback, it's awesome. It's also like a question of the week where we think about, like, man, how do I answer this and respond? There's so many questions within questions. It's
I feel like Nathan has hooked us up as Nathan has before with quite the gift here. I think that a superhero origin story series for the various Country Squire Radio tobaccos is a fantastic idea. I think that's a great idea.
That's funny.
We just need to make sure that we like lock in a name before we lock in it, like start a new series. Because I ended up going with, I'm sure you saw, but the latest and greatest as kind of our showcase. And I'm like, I really hate this name. It's, you know, but I couldn't think of anything else. So we got to come up with a good name for Pipe Origins, Squire Origins, the something. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But it's a fantastic concept. And
whatever it is, I'm sure it'll be a disaster. But no, it's great. A lot of our tobaccos and a lot of our products have a unique story, and some of them don't. You know, some of them are kind of mundane, but all of them, all the tobaccos and blends that we've made here at the Squire have been very thoughtfully made and carefully made. I can honestly tell you that. So, maybe that's something we can explore down the road. You know, there's answers to all these questions. Who is the parson of Parsons Blend? Why is the Cornishman angry? What's the relationship between Cherokee and Choctaw? They all have their answers. So maybe one day we'll get there.
Absolutely. You know, I think about that. A lot of those answers are kind of trickled out throughout. I mean, I think we've discussed almost all of this.
Some
things.
Of them. Yeah. Yeah, probably here and most there. Of them.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know that we've really dedicated the time and kind of packaged them in quite a way that really tells, literally kind of gives them the opportunity or gives the opportunity to kind of tell the story there. So love this concept, Nathan. Thank you so much for this. We'll think on it and figure out how best we can crack open the
kind of present
the volumes of story that are available to tell the origins of the country squire, the secret origins of the country squire, the secret, the secret squire. You know, let me work on it. Well, Nathan, thank you for this. And hey, if you got some listener feedback, be sure to send it into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also hit us up on iTunes. You just search for us there and write us a review. It's a great way to support the show and doesn't cost you a dime to do it. But if you are able and willing to put a few dimes to make sure that we stay on the air, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you can help support the show and join the club there as well. John David, we got a great opportunity this week to do some tobacco talk, to expose hopefully some folks to some tried and true tobaccos that they may or may not be familiar with. And
yeah, that's right.
I think it's a fun thing whenever we're able to do that. I want to encourage folks, if you've got kind of recommendations or some thoughts on any of the products mentioned, you can always contact us. You can follow us throughout the week. You can tweet into the show @SquireRadio. You can contact John David @JohnDavidCole or the shop @_CountrySquire. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man.
It was fun. Always great coming back to the bread and butter, man. Love talking tobacco. And of course, that's really why I got into this whole industry, you know. Well, I stumbled into it, let's be honest about it. But but you know, certainly my initial love of the pipe was centered around the tobacco itself. And man, it's always fun to come back home. So glad to do it.
All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.